Welcome to episode 669 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. For the past couple of months, we have launched a series entitled, Jesus in Every Book of the Bible. In today's episode, we wrap up the book of 1 Samuel and turn to the book of 2 Samuel. As time passed, King Saul, the first king of Israel, found himself in constant conflict with the Philistines, nagging enemies of God's people. In 1 Samuel 28, the Philistine army gathered for battle against Israel, and Saul, overwhelmed and desperate for guidance, sought the Lord's counsel. However, God remained silent and did not answer him, through dreams, or prophets, or via the Urim and Thummim. The Urim and Thummim were sacred objects, used by the ancient Israelites to seek divine guidance and discern God's will in matters of national importance. The exact nature of the Urim and Thummim is not explicitly described in the Bible, so there is some uncertainty about their physical form and function. However, based on the biblical accounts, they were believed to be a means of communication between God and the high priest. The words Urim and Thummim are Hebrew in origin, and are often translated as lights and perfections or lights and truth. They are mentioned several times in the Hebrew Bible, primarily in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and 1 Samuel. According to biblical accounts, the Urim and Thummim were kept within a sacred breastplate called the breastpiece of judgment, or breastplate of decision. This breastplate was worn by the high priest, who was the religious leader of the Israelites, and the only one permitted to use the Urim and Thummim. When a question or inquiry was brought before God, the high priest would approach the tabernacle or temple with the breastplate on. Through some unknown process, the Urim and Thummim would provide a divine response to the inquiry. The exact mechanism by which this occurred is not described in detail, but it is believed that the Urim and Thummim may have involved some form of casting lots, drawing stones, or receiving supernatural signs or revelations. The responses from the Urim and Thummim were typically binary in nature, offering a simple yes or no answer, or providing a specific course of action. This allowed the Israelites to seek God's guidance in matters of great importance, such as decisions regarding military strategies, the resolution of disputes, or the identification of guilty parties. The Urim and Thummim played a significant role in the early history of Israel, particularly during the time of Moses, Joshua, and the Judges. However, as the Israelite monarchy was established, and the religious practices evolved, the references to the Urim and Thummim became less frequent. By the time of David and Solomon, their use had diminished, and they eventually disappeared from historical accounts altogether. Still, Saul could find no answer from any source, including the Urim and Thummim. Frustrated and fearful, Saul decided to consult a medium, a violation of God's law, in the hope of contacting the spirit of the deceased Samuel. Disguising himself, Saul went to a witch from the town of Endor, and requested her to conjure Samuel's spirit. It is commonly assumed that this woman was not an Israelite but rather a Canaanite, who was a practitioner of pagan spiritual practices. The Israelites were strictly forbidden from engaging in practices such as divination, necromancy, and consulting mediums. These practices were considered idolatrous, and were condemned by God. Still, Saul turned to the spirit world, in his desperation. To his astonishment, Samuel appeared, but the message, conveyed by the witch, was one of judgment and doom. Samuel confirmed that God had rejected Saul as king, and that disaster would befall both him and his sons. Knowing his fate, Saul was greatly distressed and weakened in spirit. The following day, the Israelites went into battle against the Philistines at Mount Gilboa. The Philistine forces outnumbered them, and the battle turned against the Israelites. Saul's three sons, Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua, were killed in the fighting. As the Philistines closed in on him, Saul became increasingly desperate. He was wounded by enemy archers, and the situation appeared dire. Aware that capture and humiliation awaited him, Saul pleaded with his armor-bearer to end his life with a sword. But the armor-bearer, fearing to kill the king, refused. Sensing that death was imminent, Saul took his own sword and fell upon it, bringing an end to his life. The Philistines, discovering Saul's lifeless body on the battlefield, beheaded him and hung his body on the walls of Bethshan. They also displayed the bodies of his three slain sons nearby. When the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard of their king's death, and the desecration of the bodies, they courageously travelled by night, retrieved the bodies, and gave them a proper burial. The death of Saul, and his sons, signifies the tragic defeat of Israel at the hands of their enemies, the Philistines. This defeat brings a sense of despair and hopelessness to the Israelites. In a similar manner, Jesus' crucifixion initially appeared as a devastating defeat for his followers. However, it ultimately led to his resurrection, victory over sin and death, and the redemption of all who believe in him. After Saul's death, David eventually becomes the king of Israel, marking a transition from the reign of Saul to a new era. This transition can symbolize the coming of Jesus, who is often referred to as the Son of David and the promised Messiah. Jesus' arrival brought a new era of salvation, grace, and the establishment of God's kingdom on earth. In 2 Samuel 1, David mourns deeply for the death of Saul and Jonathan. David's lamentation reflects a genuine sorrow over the loss of the anointed king of Israel. Similarly, Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem, mourning the spiritual state of its people, and longing for their repentance and salvation. Despite the tensions and conflicts between David and Saul, David still honors Saul as the Lord's anointed. He laments over Saul's death and mourns the loss of a leader. This display of respect and honor foreshadows Jesus' own teachings of loving and praying for one's enemies and extending grace and forgiveness to those who oppose us. After the death of Saul and his sons, David was anointed as the next king of Israel by the tribe of Judah. However, Abner, the commander of Saul's army, chose Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, to be king over the remaining tribes of Israel, based in the city of Mahanaim. Ish-bosheth's reign was marked by a conflict between him and David, who was ruling over Judah. While David's kingdom grew stronger, Ish-bosheth's rule faced challenges. Abner, who supported Ish-bosheth, engaged in a power struggle with one of Saul's remaining sons, Ish-bosheth's brother-in-law, named Ishbal, also known as Ishvi, over a concubine named Rizpah. This caused further division within the ranks of Saul's family and supporters. The tension between Ish-bosheth and David escalated when Abner switched his allegiance and sought to reconcile the tribes of Israel under David's rule. Joab, David's commander, was suspicious of Abner's intentions and killed him, avenging the death of his brother Asahel, whom Abner had killed in battle. David disavowed Joab's actions and mourned Abner's death, emphasizing his desire for peace between the tribes. Following Abner's death, Ish-bosheth's grip on power weakened, and two of his own commanders, Baana and Rechab, assassinated him while he was taking a midday nap. They beheaded Ish-bosheth and presented his head to David, hoping to gain favor and reward. However, David was deeply disturbed by their act of treachery and had them executed for their crime. With the death of Ish-bosheth, David became the undisputed king of a united Israel, ruling over all 12 tribes. Ish-bosheth's reign was relatively short-lived and marked by political strife and internal divisions. Despite the challenges, his story serves as a backdrop to highlight David's rise to power and the establishment of his kingdom. Both David and Jesus, the so-called Son of David, were anointed kings, faced opposition and betrayal, and brought unity and peace to their people. Father, grant us the wisdom, courage, and strength to live as agents of unity and peace in a divided world. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.